If you are away from everything in this life and say, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, guess what? If you are away from stress forever, it'll hit you badly, because what will happen is, it's like anything else. You won't have any tolerance for it. It's as simple as that. And you've got to build up, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, a certain tolerance to it. And that's where I think some people go hugely wrong.
Welcome to Adulting on a Spectrum. In this podcast, we want to highlight the real voices of autistic adults, not just inspirational stories, but people like us talking about their day-to-day life. Basically, we want to give a voice to a variety of autistic adults. I'm Aileen Lam, an autistic author and photographer, and I co-host this podcast with Andrew Comroe. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Aileen. I'm Andrew Comroe, an autistic entrepreneur, software engineer, co-host of this podcast. And I have seen all 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and I doubt Aileen has seen one, although she is dressed today like she could play an actress in one with her ruffle feather shirt. Today, our guest is another Andrew Kingston. Andrew was recently diagnosed with autism at the age of 60. His special interests are cycling, running, and weights. His profession was in science, so he also likes a combination of the two, sports science. He lives across the pond in the United Kingdom and is retired. Thank you for joining us, Andrew, and I'm not talking the third person. I mean Andrew Kingston.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So I don't know if you've listened to our podcast before, but we like to start by asking each guest how they prefer to identify. And we don't mean pronouns such as he, him, she, her, although you're welcome to share those as well. We mean Asperger's, autistic, on the spectrum, no preference. Do you have a preference? And if so,
Not really. No, I mean, I'm classed as, I suppose, Asperger's. I was told I'd be Asperger's, but I'm just on the spectrum, essentially. So I'm easy going on it, to be fair. I'm out functioning, in essence. So, yeah, however you want to say, I'm easygoing.
Cool. That's what we like to hear. Can you tell us about your diagnosis journey? When were you diagnosed? What was the process like?
I suppose it'd be best if I went back a little bit, well before that. I've kind of always had some issues, mental health issues, for lots of years. And I've had kind of 3 breakdowns. One was hospitalized, so it was really bad. So I kind of struggled all the time with mental health issues. I spent time in hospital where I was diagnosed with having GAD, general anxiety disorder. And also at one point for many years, they thought I had bipolar. So it was kind of years and years and years of kind of suffering with mental health issues. Sometimes extremely bad, where I'd literally lose loads of weight and finally ending up in a bed, curled up in a ball, not being able to eat anything, or really, really struggling. So I've had years and years and years of sort of mental health issues. The other thing I noticed is that obviously people, when they become more aware of autism, they kind of would question possibly whether I had autism. And I think it goes back to my working life as well. Because although I've had a good career, I was in management and, you know, in the food industry, in the chemical industry, and I had a great career, I struggled in certain things, like sometimes meetings, I'll be confident in some of them, and then all of course on what essentially is like a burnout, I would end up struggling, and so I kind of really, really struggled with it, and in the end, obviously, if you carry on pushing and pushing and pushing, which I did, you end up having a mental breakdown, which I ended up on 3 occasions. But so it's been a long journey. I only got diagnosed last year, and it was through somebody who's knowledgeable about autism, works in that environment, and they know me well, and they turned around and said, look, I think you ought to go and get a diagnosis. And I said, well, what's the point? I'm 60 year old. What is it going to do with me now? I've struggled all my life, and to be quite honest with you, from the way I'd got being at school, and I struggled all my life with it. And I thought, well, what good's it going to do me actually at the end of the day? However, I did go to the doctors, and they did a few little tests at the doctors, the GP in the UK, and they said, yeah, we'll send you to full assessment. So I had my full assessment, which was quite a long process, about 3 hours of interviewing me and then tests, all of these sort of things, which you probably know about. And I was there for a full morning. And at the end of it, they turned around to me and basically said straight away, I think you're going to be classed as autistic. And you sound very much like you're on the spectrum. Especially when I told them a lot of my hobbies and things like that, my obsessions, which is the obsession side of it, it's been horrendous with me. And you're probably aware of it with autistic people, that you can get really, really obsessive. I can. When I'm on an hobby, bang, I'm at it in the hobby. Whatever's going on around me, it sounds awful, but I can switch it out. And I've always been able to do that. I've been able to dive in depth. And I think, like I said, the turnaround said, yeah, you're probably definitely going to be classed as autistic. And I got my final diagnosis through with a telephone call, and then obviously the paperwork through. And then I got some contacts to enable some, if you like, support for it.
You said you like cycling, running, and weights?
Yes.
What got you into that?
Right. I've done that all my life. However, on each occasion, I've ended up really ill at some point in it. So 2016, I had a proper nervous breakdown, and I mean big scale. I ended up down to 11 stone. I'm 14 now. So I was down to about 11 stone, curled up in a bed. And to be honest, I tried to commit suicide, blah, blah, blah. So I won't go into that in detail, but I had. And they ended up being hospitalised. Now, when I came out, I've been on diazepam, prescription that is, for quite a long time, and I was aware it wasn't going to be doing me much good. But however, when you're really ill like that, you just do as you tell and you follow suit, even though I was aware about such as diazepam, benzodiazepines, and things like that. So I had to do it because I wouldn't have functioned if I didn't. I would have probably, well, I couldn't eat or anything, so I had to. But the problem is, I had to come off it. Now, coming off benzodiazepines, for me, diazepam was horrendous. Absolutely very difficult thing. And the first thing I was told when I ended up seeing the doctor, which essentially takes you off them, he turned around to me and he said, you do realise coming off these is harder than coming off heroin. And I looked at him and went, what? Really? He said, oh, yes. And then talked to a few other psychiatric nurses, and they said the same thing. So I knew I was on a difficult one. By gosh, was it a difficult one? Nothing, smoking. Wow, packing that in was a doddle when I was younger. Absolute doddle. Coming off diazepam, horrendous. Anyhow, give me tinnitus. Really severely tinnitus. Enough that I couldn't even watch the telly. And I had that for about 6 months, and I've still got it now, but it's not quite as bad as it used to be. However, to survive, I thought, I'm going to get out on my bike again, and I'm going to exercise, and I push myself, and I exercise. And I was doing, started off literally 3 miles, where I was doing, God knows, 28, 30 miles before that. And I started 3 miles, and I built up my strength. I ended up, obviously, doing, in the end, 100 mile on a bike and things, and regular, every other day, maybe doing 30, 40, 50 miles on a bike. And then I started, obviously, pushing the weights again, and then running. And so I've carried it on, because for me, it's like this morning, I woke up early. I always wake up early. At 5:30, I get up. And I got up, and by 8 o'clock, I was in the gym pushing weights. And then I finished that, and I'm buzzing. And then I probably jump in a freezing cold bath, give myself another good shock, and I'm buzzing then. Because that's what my personal view is. It's got me into trouble at sometimes with food breakdowns. However, I believe it's... this is my opinion. It's only my opinion, what I'm going to tell you now. It's just my opinion. If you are away from everything in this life and say, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing the other, guess what? If you are away from stress forever, it'll hit you badly, because what will happen is, it's like anything else. You won't have any tolerance for it. It's as simple as that. And you've got to build up, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, a certain tolerance to it. And that's where I think some people go hugely wrong. I can't do this, can't do that. I'm going to hide away. And, I can't go to social events, or I can't do a meeting, or I can't do a public speaking. I can't do this, can't do either. It's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very important too. And I think especially, all three of us have, depending how you look at it, just the experience of being diagnosed later. I definitely feel that if was diagnosed earlier, might have been held back from some more opportunities. I definitely think that, trying new things, getting exposed to as many things as possible, right, is again, especially important for everyone, but especially those on the spectrum as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing is, you are right there, because if I'd have been diagnosed earlier, this is my opinion again, I think it would have restricted me in my progress in my jobs. I think it would, because ultimately, I'll tell you what, since I've been diagnosed...
Well, if you were diagnosed earlier... Are you saying it maybe would have restricted you if you told them? Because if you didn't tell them, but you also didn't have to tell them.
But I don't know about that, though. That's the problem. In the UK, you've got to say what you've got to be honest with the company. If you start with a company, there's no point saying, I'm going to not put that in, but then later on turn around and say, well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell us that you had autism? Why didn't you say you were suffering from general anxiety disorder? And when was you diagnosed? So you've got to be honest, because if you fill in that form and it says, have you got any mental illness or have you got any conditions, blah, 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 you put them in. That's just my opinion. Because I was in management, and to be quite honest with you, if somebody turned around to me when I was interviewing and I asked them, all sorts of things like, and if they hadn't filled the form incorrectly, then I would possibly have thought, well, I wonder why they didn't do that. And it would have been, for me anyhow, I'd have seen it as a negative. But that's, once again, just my opinion on it. If things are probably changing, maybe you don't have that same... The other thing, of course, I mean, ultimately, I'm talking about when I was working. Like I say, I'm 60. I retired when I was 55. Who knows, and it might have changed a little bit now, because I think autism is more discussed in the UK, definitely. You do see it more on certain, you do see it come up anyhow on TV and all the rest of it. So I'm thinking possibly, it might have changed slightly now. And you might have a company which would treat you and look after you better than what it maybe did when I was working. If you were honest even and you said, well, yes, I've got autism, they might say, well, okay, what do you find difficult? That would be a lovely thing if that actually happened in the world.
Are you on social media? What do you think about the new increase in self-diagnosis on TikTok and other social media platforms? Do you have any insight on that?
It's sad, because I see all the self-diagnosis as well, and I kind of worry a little bit about that in the autism side of things on social media, where there seems to be so many people self-diagnosing. I'm not quite sure how that can work out as well. The benefits of it, I'm not quite sure, because I've got my diagnosis, but have I benefited from it? Well, yeah, I've got a bit of support, but guess what? When I went for my, when I applied for the support, I had to prove I was diagnosed officially. And if I didn't have that proof, I would not have got any support. And then the support itself is limited, in all honesty. I think it's quite limited. So I don't know why. I don't know what you get. What you get out
get
of
attention
it.
From it. That's why people do it. They get attention from people on social media by saying they have autism. You know, it's like that whole movement of self-diagnosing. And I agree with you. I mean, it's not much benefit. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I suspect I have autism because I recognize some signs, but to say, oh, I'm autistic without any like doctor proof, it's not right. And like you said, you won't be able to get the support because you need proof, right? So
absolutely, yeah.
What do you
absolutely
think of autism acceptance overall in the UK? Like, and how is it?
Oh, in the UK, how is it? What, sorry?
Autism acceptance in the UK, how is it?
Right. How is it? Right, okay. What I've found, I mean, obviously I'm not working, so I'm not seeing that side of it, in a working side of it. But what I tend to find is if I turn around to somebody and say I'm autistic, for whatever reason, it'll come up sometimes. And they'll say, you know, the funny thing is, I'll get bloody people say to me, all my life, boy, I've had it happen to me. Because people say, well, you're odd, Andy. Especially in my working career. I had everything lined up perfect on my desk. And they'd probably come in my office when I wasn't there and move everything about, used to infuriate me. And not only that, a lot of the time, I ended up working by myself because of foot. But for me, I found it better because I like working by myself and I could dive in, nobody hassling me, could dive into a project and, you know, I save company a lot of money or whatever else and do a good job of it. But the acceptance side of it is what I've found is that if I tell somebody, don't matter who it is, they'll do a couple of things really. They'll just generally go quiet straight away. Treat you different as well next time you see them. And I've had one or two say, obviously, oh yeah, well, we're all on the spectrum, aren't we? And you turn around and say, well, we are, but I think, we're not. That's the point. We're not all on the spectrum. The problem is, I think everybody's got traits of autism. I think a lot of people have slight traits, but not all of the traits and not all of the extent. Sort of what you need to fulfill the criteria. So that's the difference being for me.
You like Elvis?
I do love Elvis, yes, I do. I like singing. I do like Elvis. I like loads of music, though, to be honest with you. I'm not just an Elvis fan. I am an Elvis fan, but I'm not just an Elvis fan. I like all sorts of music. I was a punk rocker when I was 16. So I liked the Sex Pistols. I liked all them sort of groups. I had all the safety pins. I had the one with the bondage trousers. So I was a punk rocker in the UK. But God, what a great time that was. Wow, did I enjoy myself. It was fun. And it was kind of my rebellious side, which I had to a big degree when I was younger. Rebellious. However, yeah, it's strange. It's strange as a one-off. But yes, I like that. I like Mozart. I play my piano. I play my keyboard. I love Mozart. So I love Mozart's Requiem. I love classical music. So I listen to that. But I like to sing Elvis because, for me, I've always loved his voice. And I like the way he sings. And when I'm singing Elvis, I know it sounds stupid, but I kind of get any spirit of him. I hear him in my head when I'm singing. Probably don't sound much like him, but I do. I know it sounds stupid, but I do. And that's how it is. You know. But then again, I like my chess, I like my maths puzzles, I like numbers, I like a lot of things. I like drawing, so I do my drawing. I like Believe me, since I retired, I've lots of things. I'm never bored, never bored, because I've got a lot of hobbies and I juggle between them. You know, I'm doing Spanish at the moment, so I'm learning Spanish, and I've been doing that for a while. And so I'm always doing something. But the singing's a big thing for me because it relaxes me. And I've just only started going live as well. I've done a couple of live events where I do sing. So I maybe sing about 10 or 15 of his songs, and especially some of the ones which I love. I like his younger songs when he was younger, and I like the older ones, you know, Welcome to My World, Something, all them sort of songs I like to sing. So my aim is to get to a position where I'm going to go in the care homes and in the UK, local ones only, and do some singing for those in the care homes, because my wife's uncle, he's ended up in a care home with dementia, and I walked in and I thought, look at all these poor dears. They look bored out the bloody, yeah, whatever. I look real bored, and I thought, well, if I can sing to them, all right, they're going to be perfect. They're going to be brilliant, but I'm hopefully going to a quality where they'll enjoy themselves, and that's what I aim to do. So, yeah, that's the singing side of it.
Where can people find you on social media? Do you want to share your Instagram and Facebook?
Yeah, well, I'm on Instagram. Now, I could possibly send you them. I can't. I've got that many. I can't remember more because I've got small ones as well. And the full names of them, I'm not a big, you know, I'll just do them and that's it. And so, yeah, I've got me Instagram one. I've got me Over 60 Fitness Geek for all my training. And I've got, I think it's, you know, you set them up and you think to yourself, crikey, what is it? What are they all called? Because my Instagram one is going to be, once again, on Instagram, I've got my Over 60 Fitness Geek on that one. But it's Andy Kingston Asperger's. Stroke autism is the one where I do a lot of my singing on. I post them on there. So instead of just talking about autism all the time, I think, oh, it's nice to pop in. And that's where I've done a couple of my live ones for people, where I'll do a bit of singing, 10 songs or so. So, yeah. And then, of course, I've got obviously my Facebook, which I go on. And once again, I've got my own fitness one for that, which same thing again, Over 60 Fitness Geek.
So, Andy, before we go, I want to ask you some quick fire questions. So how it works is that I ask you questions and you tell me the first answer that comes to your mind. It's like quick like that.
Gosh.
Are you ready?
Pressure. Go on then.
Who's your favorite fitness instructor?
Who's my favorite? What, sorry?
Your favorite fitness instructor.
No, then. Oh, my God. That's hard, though. Do you know, there's so many of them. I can't really. And I don't particularly memorize the names because I've always done it myself. So, you know, I've got.
Yourself?
I've done it myself, so there really isn't anybody as such. I can just sort of like give you like that. It's I don't know.
Favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? I don't know. Once again, I spend too much time on YouTube. I don't really watch that much ordinary TV. I mean, like, some of the cartoon stuff, I suppose, The Simpsons. I get a lot of laughs out of that, actually.
Your favorite workout machine or your favorite thing to do when you work out?
I'd probably say bench press, I think.
Favorite think, music?
Yeah. Pardon?
Your
favorite music? I would say Mozart's Requiem. I'd probably listen to that. Oh, thousands of times. I listen to it probably 3 or 4 times a week easily. I love it. And I know most of it in my head.
And Espressos or ketchup?
I'm ketchup.
What's espressos?
HP sauce, like a brown sauce. I don't mind it, but
is it British?
It is, yeah.
Cool. Well, that was it for us, Andy. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and your advice. And we appreciate you coming on the podcast. I'll send you an email when it's live.
Yeah, okay then. Thank you very much.